Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maher Hedgley, and welcome to another episode of Business Beyond Borders, where we have made it our mission to talk to global experts, professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders from a variety of industries and fields as we tackle the many aspects of scaling an international business. Now, the aim here is to collect valuable insights and be able to share with you guys some in-depth knowledge so that you too can apply the winning techniques and strategies to go global and take your business to the world.
Hi, folks, and welcome to Business Beyond Borders, where I unlock the secrets of international business success. I'm Cynthia Dearen, and I'm putting together a special series of COVID-19 episodes to keep you up to date with how coronavirus is affecting international business around the world. Today, I'm checking in with Callan Anderson, the Executive Director at the Hong Kong Corporate Services Group. Callan helps foreign companies to enter Hong Kong, China, and other markets in Asia, and we're going to talk about how coronavirus is affecting day-to-day life and work in that part of the world. Callan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cynthia. Nice to be back again.
So as we speak today, how are things in Hong Kong?
I think Hong Kong today is a difficult position because we were doing quite well originally with the cases of virus in Hong Kong. And we had a very low number, about 100 people for a very long time. Then as we closed our borders but let people come back to Hong Kong, our numbers of the virus went up. So it has caused a few more economic problems for us. I think hotels, restaurants, retail have really been hurt quite badly in the last month or two, following on from the riots we had in Hong Kong last year. So we've had a double whammy in the city. Luckily, we've only had four people die in the city with the virus. I think we're 890 people who have caught it. I think 206 have actually left hospital now, which is a good sign. The government here has not closed down the city. We have stopped bars and restaurants opening. They just try and stop people mingling and transferring the disease to other people. But businesses generally are still working in their offices. Some have decided to work from home, which is a normal thing in other countries. But generally speaking, Hong Kong is still open for business as of today.
So it sounds as though you're a lot less locked down than other parts of the world, like the UK, Europe, even Australia. It sounds as though it's more, it's freer than a lot of other places. As you just pointed out, you've only got 891 cases. You've had four deaths and there have been no deaths since the 13th of March. Now, when you contrast that with other places, even though it might feel high to you, it's very low. So the US has had more than 300,000 cases of coronavirus and it's escalating rapidly. China has 81,000 cases. Even Australia has more than 5,000 cases, but you guys have got less than 1,000 cases and you haven't restricted movement that much, and you're in the center of the world and right next to China where it all started. Why are the numbers so low?
I think we closed the borders to China and other countries pretty early on. I think there was a reluctance to do that, but that's what the government did. So we closed our main borders to China. There's only one border open just now. That's the Zhuhai-Macau Bridge, which goes from Hong Kong Airport out to Macau and then to the mainland. But still a lot of people testing people who come into the city on that bridge. That's our main gateway for food at the moment. So food comes from China for Hong Kong, and that's the main gateway for food at the moment. So that bridge has to remain open for the time being. So I think closing the borders very early on, including that to flights, helped a great deal. I think also because we went through SARS in the early 2000s, our hospitals here are quite aware of what to do and what not to do in a virus situation. And we've got facilities to do that. But I also think people in Hong Kong are pretty smart as far as keeping wearing masks. I mean, masks have been worn here since day one. Keeping your hands clean, that was another thing during SARS. You sometimes forget to wash your hands, but people wash their hands all the time. I have a bottle of alcohol, not the gin kind, but a bottle of hand sanitizer on my desk so I can keep my hands clean as well. And I think also that the fact that they closed the schools here very early on, because kids are not always as clean as maybe adults think they should be, and they closed the schools very early on too. So that seemed to stem the flow of number of people catching the virus. And as far as the death rate is concerned, I think it's probably just we've got very good hospitals here.
It's interesting. It did strike me as rather ironic that everybody in Hong Kong is wearing masks at the moment. last year masks were not really allowed in Hong Kong, were they?
Yes. Well, I was not wearing a mask until very recently because I thought, you know, that's not really going to help. The WHO keeps saying it may not help and other governments say it will help. So who knows? And as far as the riots last year not wearing a mask, I think everyone is now wearing a mask. But at least that is, we're not in a situation now where we have many riots taking place, although there are still a few people who try and ruffle some feathers now and again.
Okay, but a lot less activity on the protest front than, say, 6 months ago by the sounds of things.
Correct.
You were mentioning that COVID-19 has caused a bit of economic damage. Where are you mainly seeing it show up?
I think the tourism industry, retail, hospitality industries have certainly been hurt a great deal. People can still go to restaurants. The alcohol ban came in last Friday just to try and stop people drinking too much at night time and getting too close. But I suppose that it's the industries which are what people usually do at lunchtime. They go out for dinner, they go out for lunch to see clients. So I've probably lost weight by not going out to see clients at lunchtime and dinner time every day and going home to eat. So I think that hurts businesses. And unlike in the West where they have takeaway services, that's not been such a popular thing here. You can still go out to eat, but it's still hurting the traditional businesses here. And there are very few flights coming in. If you look at the airline industry, Cathay Pacific had one flight last week of 590 people. That was all they had the whole week. So they are suffering. The transportation networks are suffering. The ports of Hong Kong are suffering because we need ships to move goods around. But China closed down. Nothing gets moved around. So these are the key industries. I think where things are good, though, it's probably financial sector is still doing pretty well here. The stock market's been doing pretty well here. Not in as far as the numbers, but as far as it maintains and keeps going. These are positive signs.
Absolutely. What's the news coming out of China at the moment? Sitting here in Australia, and I know from reading the US press, we are seeing a lot of conspiracy theories being peddled around about coronavirus being a deliberate ploy by China to tank the world economy. What's your view on those?
I don't think China would risk their own country to try and put out a virus to the rest of the world just to hurt the global economy, because their market and their country depends a great deal on the global economy. I think this is a very unfortunate thing. SARS in the early 2000s started by people eating pangolins, which is an animal which I can't even describe. It looks like a porcupine without the spines. And then you had this time around three bats, although that's not been confirmed yet either. So I think the Chinese government will stop the market selling wild animals to that degree. I think China has certainly been hurt by this, and also the people of China have been hurt by this. And I think there's no good pointing fingers at this time. I think it's trying to find a way to get the pandemic sorted and got rid of, as well as helping people get the economy back on track. And certainly in China, if you believe the numbers, 94% of all businesses are back on track. And certainly the factories, because factories are mostly run by the state. So they are now back to work. Although there's a lot of control over people's movements just to make sure the spread does not jump out again.
And on that note then, what's your advice for companies that are either operating in Hong Kong, foreign-owned companies operating in Hong Kong, or companies that were considering coming to Hong Kong and have possibly paused what they're doing because of COVID-19, and companies that are in the same situation but in China?
What's surprising is in our business, we help people set up companies and support them, mostly entering the China market and Asia generally. And although we've seen a dip in people coming to see us because there's no flights, we're still seeing people opening up companies or looking after their existing businesses. And as I said to you earlier, I think it's a bit like The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. We can sit here going, okay, we don't know what button we've pressed. We're not sure when we're going to land, where we're going to land, and when we'll stop. But now we're sitting at home, a lot of people. It's time to start planning for when the time machine does come to a standstill. Have you got everything in place to start, you know, engaging with your clients, growing your business, rebuilding what you had before? because different parts of the world will open up first. And I think Asia will be the first to open up. I think China's already doing that. They have to. Hong Kong, Philippines, Indonesia, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, they'll all open up. Where I think the West, as far as Europe and America, may take a bit longer. So I think there's great opportunity, and we must be prepared for that. I saw a figure the other day there that during the recession in America in 2008, Lego, which wasn't doing that well at the time, they grew their business 63% in Asia alone because America wasn't doing well. So they went, what's happening in Asia? So there's opportunities if you look for them. And I think we should be looking for them as we're sitting at home pondering those, what we're going to do after it all comes to an end.
Callan, great to chat to you again. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. This is Maher again. And just a few things before you head off. Firstly, if you feel you have gained valuable insights from the show, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss another episode. More importantly, don't forget to tell your fellow entrepreneur and business leader friends that this is the best podcast to tune into if they're looking to take on the world with their products and services. Also, if you are loving the podcast, please take the time to rate and review, as it's one of the best ways for us to get loads of free value into the hands of other entrepreneurs. And lastly, make sure to visit DearinAssociates.com. That's D-E-A-R-I-N Associates.com, where we have plenty of free resources and tools for you to get clarity and build momentum with your international venture. If you go there, you'll find the blueprint to international success, ebooks, our latest blog posts, and more. So be sure to check it out. And until next time, this is me encouraging you to expand your vision and wishing you all the best as you continue your global journey.